A new bill would ban restaurants in the state from saying they serve maple syrup if it's not the real thing. It's Tuesday, January 30th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a new federal law aims to help tribes by pressuring museums to return human remains to Native Americans. And it's an election year, but many people in Wisconsin don't even know which district they'll be voting in yet. WPR's Rich Kramer will have more. Stay with us.
Politics, environment, trade, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at WPR.org/givewitoday.
Lawmakers are considering a bill to clarify what can be described as maple syrup in Wisconsin. Anya Van Wagendonk has more.
Under the bill, if a Wisconsin restaurant were to offer, say, pancakes with syrup, they could only call it maple syrup if it's 100% pure. Substitutes derived from corn or containing additives would need to be called something else. Teresa Barone directs the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers, an industry group. She says the bill will be good for producers and consumers.
Can it help our sales? It may, but it's really for people knowing what they are getting served on their pancakes.
The bipartisan proposal isn't exactly tough on crime. There would be no penalties for mislabeling syrup that isn't the real thing. Backers say they hope this will make maple as much a part of the Wisconsin brand as cheese. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Recent updates to federal law aim to give tribes more power by pressuring museums to return human remains and other sacred items to Native Americans. Revisions to the Native American Graves and Repatriation Act have prompted major museums around the country to cover up some exhibits while they consult with tribes. Beth Kowalski directs the Neville Public Museum of Brown County. She says she's hopeful the federal change will speed up the museum's ongoing repatriation efforts.
It allows us now to reach out to tribes that would have been in that geographic place and hopefully then be able to have them make decisions as how do we return their ancestors to them.
The Neville is among a dozen museums and universities in Wisconsin that possess Native American remains. Kowalski says the Neville does not display ancestral remains and would only allow research if tribes granted permission. About 94 workers at an Ocean Spray plant in Wisconsin Rapids will vote this week on whether to unionize. A worker at the facility, who asked not to be named, says the effort came in response to cuts to performance bonuses and increases to mandatory overtime. The workers will vote on whether they want to be represented by a local chapter of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Dylan Gorman is with the union, and he says Ocean Spray Management has been lobbying against the organizing effort.
I've counted at least 12 separate emails from local management saying, vote no, here's why you shouldn't join the union's bad for you, and really not one email saying, you know, what could we be doing better?
A previous unionization vote at the facility failed in 2014. Another Ocean Spray plant in Kenosha is already unionized. Ocean Spray did not respond to a request for comment. New Milwaukee Bucks head coach Doc Rivers made his debut last night against the Denver Nuggets. Evan Casey has more on his return to Milwaukee.
Rivers attended Marquette University in the 1980s and played basketball there, a time he says he's fond of.
Coming back here to a place that changed me as a literal person is a dream.
The now veteran coach has the ninth most wins in the history of the NBA, including a championship. He'll now attempt to lead the Bucks back to the finals after the team won it all in 2021.
Winning it all, it's like having a blood transfusion with everybody in a group and an organization. And once you get that in you, you want another one.
Rivers takes over for Adrian Griffin, who was fired last week. The Bucks are 32-14 and second in the Eastern Conference. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
By the way, the Bucks lost the game in his debut last night, 113-107. Late last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned Republican-drawn legislative maps. Now, state legislators are working on a new set of maps. But many Wisconsin voters don't yet even know who they'll be casting their ballots for or who will be representing them in which district, or even when they're going to know about that. Coming up, WPR reporter Rich Kramer will be joining me to help figure out what's going on. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
It's an election year, and Wisconsin voters still don't know which legislative districts they'll be voting in. Joining us to discuss the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling and what it means for the 2024 elections is Rich Kramer, reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Rich, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Can we start with a quick recap of the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling that overturned those current GOP-drawn legislative districts, and can you remind us who brought the suit and what the ruling was?
Absolutely. The lawsuit was filed by a group of Democratic voters from around Wisconsin. They're now referred to as the Clark Petitioners. They argued that the current GOP maps are extreme partisan gerrymanders because they give Democratic voters an unequal opportunity to elect their preferred candidate. The court's 4-3 liberal majority decided not to rule on whether the current maps are gerrymandered, but late last month they struck them down as unconstitutional because dozens of districts weren't contiguous, meaning parts of some districts were located inside others. The majority said the GOP-controlled legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers should pass new maps, but if they can't agree, the court will adopt new maps itself.
So the parties to the suit recently had to submit those proposed maps that you talked about. How many maps were submitted, and did any of them really stand out as different from the others?
Yeah, there are six sets of new maps before the court submitted by parties in the lawsuit. They include analysis provided by redistricting experts hired by these parties. The maps have to comply with traditional redistricting requirements like compactness, equal population, but the court also said it's going to consider partisan impact. There are a lot of ways to measure partisan impact, and you can get different results by using different data from past elections. A Marquette University Law School researcher compared proposed maps using the 2022 fall election. He found that Republicans' current majorities in the state assembly and state senate would decrease in almost every case.
Rich, I know that you've been covering this a lot for WPR, and the Wisconsin legislature recently tried to approve their own maps. They said they were based on Governor Evers' maps, but he still vowed a veto. Can you tell us what happened there?
The maps that Republicans passed during a 24-hour period last week with no public hearing, they're based on the maps Evers submitted to the court, but GOP lawmakers changed them to limit the number of Republican incumbents who would be drawn into districts with fellow Republicans. Essentially, they're trying to limit the number of GOP lawmakers who would either have to move or face primaries against their Republican colleagues. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss accused Evers of targeting the GOP. Evers says the Republican maps with their changes are not his maps, and he will not support them.
So where does that leave us in terms of where these districts are going to be for the election, Rich? Because obviously election season is pretty much upon us. Are we going to have some new maps put in place by the Supreme Court by then, and would those maps be permanent?
If the governor does veto the maps that were passed by Republicans last week, then it's time to start watching the court very closely. The court has hired two nationally known redistricting experts to essentially score the map proposals. If they find that none of those proposed maps comply with the court's requirements, they could even draw their own. But ultimately, the court's liberal majority will decide which maps go into effect. As to permanence, no redistricting map is permanent. They're redrawn every decade. But any maps enacted by the state Supreme Court could be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court by Republicans or even Democrats. During the last round of redistricting lawsuits, the U.S. Supreme Court did step in, which ended up leading to the Wisconsin court choosing maps drawn by Republicans. And there's also another Wisconsin Supreme Court election right around the corner. Former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel has already announced that he's running to restore integrity on the court. If he were to win, there's a chance that Republicans could sue and a conservative Supreme Court majority in the state could decide to change the maps again. Essentially, the process could restart.
Would that happen before the 2024 election? Because I know that the Supreme Court has said these maps need to be in place before the 2024 election. When do those maps have to be in place?
The court doesn't have a specific day when the new maps must be in place, but in its majority opinion, it noted that the 2024 elections, specifically the fall primary and the fall general election, they're fast approaching. So candidates begin circulating nomination papers April 15th to collect signatures needed to get on the ballot. So new maps would have to be in place before then.
Rich, is there anything else you think we need to know about this topic?
This redistricting lawsuit really is happening fast and furious. So whatever happens, we can expect it within the next few months.
Rich Kramer, reporter covering all of this for us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for helping us make some sense of this, and we'll have you back if there's any news.
Thank you very much.
And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Big thanks to WPR's Rich Kramer for helping to break that all down for us. He's been following all of this, and I'm sure there's still going to be a lot more to come before Election Day. You can find more reporting from Rich Kramer and all of our great WPR reporters at WPR.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, Wisconsin Today, and we'll show up in your feed automatically each weekday morning. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.